World Cup Talk. Christina here with the storylines that matter most in football today. This World Cup has reached the point where surviving the chaos is no longer enough. The teams that are still here now have to prove they are actually getting better. And for me, that is the real story today. The clearest version of that is the United States. Yesterday, and really the day before as well, the conversation was about Balogun as an eligibility and availability story, about what his return meant emotionally, about the sense that the U.S. had been given part of its attacking identity back. Today, the question is tougher. Can the U.S. turn that emotional rush into something sharper, calmer, and more repeatable against top opposition? That is why this is not just a squad update. Balogun is the human face of the pressure because he represents release, expectation, and risk all at once. Mauricio Pochettino is the other face of it because once the noise settles, the coach has to give that emotion a structure. A North American home region World Cup can lift you, but it can also make every attack feel heavier. For me, that is the real issue. That is where the tension actually is. And that also means the U.S. story has changed in a way regular listeners should feel immediately. Yesterday, the question was whether the Balogun twist had emotionally changed the quarterfinal buildup. Today, the question is whether the U.S. can play with enough clarity to justify the noise. That matters more than the scoreline projection. England are living a different version of the same truth. Against Mexico, the major challenge was obvious. Survive the stadium, survive the altitude, survive the emotional temperature of Azteca, and get out. They did that. But surviving the atmosphere is over now. The new question is whether England actually looked like a side that is moving toward control, or whether they simply escaped the loudest room in the building. I think that is what people are underestimating. England's next test is not just tactical in the narrow sense. It is about whether a team that carried so much emotional strain can now settle into authority. If the game still feels ragged, if the midfield still looks like it is chasing calm instead of setting it, then the warning signs remain. Jude Bellingham is still the human clue here, because when England look emotionally coherent, you can usually feel it in him before you can fully explain it on the tactics board. That is the real warning sign. Then there is Norway, and honestly, this is where the tournament gets really interesting. Knocking Brazil out was the headline. Carrying the emotional weight of that into the next match is the harder assignment. Surprise can free a team for one night. Expectation can tighten it the next time out. Erling Haaland now becomes more than the man from the upset. He becomes the face of whether Norway can live inside a different kind of pressure. That is a fascinating shift, because yesterday the story was about what Norway had done to Brazil and what it meant for Neymar's final World Cup chapter. Today, the focus moves forward. Can Norway play like a team that belongs in the final argument, not just a team that crashed the party? That is why this story is bigger than it looks. And with Brazil gone, the symbolic center of the tournament shifts again. Mbappé was already carrying that feeling for France. But now it gets even louder. This is no longer just about a star producing decisive moments. It is about a star inheriting a larger emotional share of the tournament. When a figure like Neymar leaves the picture, the burden on the remaining superstars changes. For Mbappé, that means every France performance gets read through a bigger lens. Not just, did France advance, but did France look inevitable? Did Mbappé look like the player who is taking ownership of the knockout phase? For me, that is the mature version of star analysis. It is not celebrity talk. It is about who is carrying the imagination of the tournament. That is where the pressure actually is. What ties all of this together is the North American setting. Earlier in this tournament, host region discussion could sometimes sound decorative, like scene setting around the football. It does not feel decorative anymore. The emotional charge around the U.S., the atmosphere story around Mexico, the daily sense that place is shaping pressure as much as tactics are shaping pressure, all of that is now part of the football story itself. And that matters for listeners in North America especially, because this tournament is increasingly asking local teams and local crowds to do more than host. It is asking them to carry meaning. The U.S. are not just representing a team in the bracket right now. They are carrying a piece of what this World Cup is supposed to feel like in this region. Honestly, that is where this gets interesting. So when I look at the bracket today, I do not just see who survived. I see a line between teams that changed the story once and teams that can keep changing it. England have to prove the escape at Azteca was a step forward, not just an escape. Norway have to prove that a shock can mature into authority. The U.S. have to prove that emotion can become execution. France, with Mbappé at the center, have to prove that star power can still look disciplined under heavier symbolic weight. That is the next stage of this World Cup. Not the shock, not the noise, not the atmosphere by itself. Proof. See you tomorrow.